I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at the KSL Greenhouse. We are broadcasting today from Olson's Greenhouse in Salem with Brian Lloyd. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. And it's nice to have it a little bit cooler. We've been getting texters saying that they've seen rain in Ogden and other places. But, boy, guys, it's really nice to have the temperatures just come down a bit. 90s are not that comfortable to be sitting outside, and I'm sure it would be really hot in this greenhouse right now if it was 90.
It would be, yeah. But we're nice and toasty in here, but now's the perfect time for planting because of those temperatures. It's great to get out any time of day, and it's not too hot, but it's even more ideal for the plants because they love the air temperature, but the soil is still warm from summer, and so the roots take off really well.
Tell us about what you're excited about that are in right now Home Depot and Walmart stores.
We've brought in some new plants that we don't typically bring in this time of year because we see this trend towards decorating for not only for Halloween but just for fall in general, especially on your front porches, but even in your beds. But as you're doing container plantings especially, we've brought in a whole new selection of new annuals that will take a light frost, so they're perfect for this time of year. You can buy petunias and calibrachoa and verbenas, and we've brought in a whole selection to add on to your pansies and mums and kale that we traditionally sell this time of year. So there's a great selection of color that will brighten up your porch and help you have a really beautiful container for the holiday season coming up.
I want you to break it down a little bit. In the spring, you were telling us how to put together containers, and you talked about the fillers, the spillers, and the thrillers. Mm-hmm. And which plants fit that right now that you're excited about?
So those general design concepts still apply. You want something tall that kind of draws your attention into the container, and that's what we call a thriller. And for us, in the spring, it's grass, and in the fall, it's grasses as well. So we have things like purple fountain grass and millet, which is a beautiful type of plant with burgundy foliage and a bloom on top of it that looks like it screams out fall, and it really draws your attention in. So you want a thriller still, and you still want spillers kind of trailing over the edge. So we've brought in a lot of different ground covers into the stores. You can select from things like Creeping Jennies, but there are other things that we've added for this year like Calibrachoa that will trail over the edge as well. And then your traditional filler in the fall is mums and pansies. And now we've added things like petunias and kale and other things that you can add to that and make a gorgeous combination.
Yeah, describe why those ornamental kale aren't as pretty any other time of year.
Yeah, they typically set off their blooms. The ornamental kale are not meant for eating, but they don't set their blooms until the weather gets really cool at night especially. And so now that we're getting those cool nights that are dipping down into the 50s and sometimes even into the 40s, it's pushing those blooms out and intensifying that color. So you're seeing the bright purple and whites come out of your ornamental and cabbage and kale this time of year. And then they'll hold that color clear through the first few snowfalls, so all the way through Thanksgiving.
We've talked about this before, Ton, but there's just never been a better time to be a gardener. It used to be you had very few varieties to choose from when it comes to, you know, flowering plants and bushes and trees. And now, I mean, the growers have just, you've gone crazy in coming up with new ideas, new things for people to see and grow.
That's been one of the challenges for me in horticulture, especially not working at a garden center regularly
anymore. Right? Yeah.
My professors at USU, and they were very, very knowledgeable, but their plant mix that they taught was from like 1971. And I worked at the garden center, and I just knew of all these different things out there, new trees, new shrubs, new varieties of annuals. And I've had to try, and I'm glad we do these remotes with Brian and things to keep abreast of the latest things, because in the last 10 or 15 years, especially the last 10, there's just been a complete change in the mix of annuals and perennials available.
Yeah, and they're working on it every year. Every year there's new varieties and genetics coming out. And I get the wonderful part about my job is in a non-corona world, I get to travel the world and see these breeders and the things they're doing and bringing together. But even without that, they're still working on it. And our suppliers are bringing those new varieties together, and you get to see new colors. But not only that, but new plant habits and things like that that make more blooms or bigger blooms or
the
anything
red
better.
Calabacoas and petunias and the dwarf ever-blooming perennial hibiscus. These things are things that did not exist 10 years ago for the most part.
They didn't, and so now they exist. And then once they are introduced into the market, they get better and better each year. So even though they're a perennial and they might last in your yard for years and years, you still want to look at updating those and planting them. And you might get something totally new out of it.
Yeah, you really do. Because, going back to that perennial hibiscus, 25 or 30 years ago, you would have planted one, and it probably would have been white with a pink or a dark pink middle, and it would have gotten 6 or 8 feet tall, and you would have had to have staked it. Mm-hmm. And now you don't have to stake them. They bloom from July to frost almost. And it was unheard of. And there's just so many things out there, like, you know, you've been talking about, that we're really blessed to be, you know, in the horticulture world right now, because there's just been a complete revolution in things available and the technology and the beauty and the maintenance. It's just so much more out there now.
Sure makes it fun.
And we do trial gardens. So when we find a new variety, we put them into the ground and try them out for a year or two before we bring them to market, so that we make sure they perform in our climate as well. So that's important too, whether it's a perennial or an annual. We want to make sure that it's going to thrive in your yard. And then we get the wonderful job of introducing those to your Home Depot or Walmart closest to you.
Right. Let's go back to our phone lines this morning. Deanne is in Cottonwood Heights. Good morning, Deanne. What is your question?
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I have a year-old chocolate mimosa tree. I just noticed yesterday. I've been noticing it all through the summer. It's been so hot. But about a 2 to 3 inch opening has appeared midway up the tree in the bark. Now, I'm not sure if it's a sunburn or what I need to do to treat that.
Well, on the opening that's developed, how long is the tree? You said the tree's only been in the ground for a year?
Yes, uh-huh.
And is it on the south side of the trunk or west side of the trunk?
Yeah, it's the south side of the trunk.
And when did it develop? Was it over last winter or this summer?
Well, sometime this summer. It wasn't there this spring.
It's probably not sunscald, just because sunscald will get the bark in the winter, because during the day the bark heats up and you get sap flow, and at night that sap freezes. And it happens on the south and west side of the tree. So there could have been, though, some residual damage. A lot of times those trees are shipped in on semis and stacked to the ceiling, and then when you take them off, you're as careful as possible, but inevitably, you know, a tree might fall over and hit the side of a truck, or a fork might hit it or something from a forklift, and that damage doesn't show up immediately, but it, you know, it could be a few months down the road and all of a sudden that bark sloughs off. Now, is the hole where this hole in the bark has developed, is it bleeding at all from sap?
No, it looks pretty dry, but you can see inside the tree.
Okay, and does it seem to be spreading?
Well, I just noticed it yesterday, so I don't know.
Okay, so what I would do is go off to the side and just very carefully get a pocket knife or a sharp box cutter or something, and just kind of on a really shallow angle, cut away a little bit of the bark, maybe a third to a half an inch of long. And if that bark is green underneath, I wouldn't worry at this point, and I would just monitor.
Okay, you wouldn't wrap it this winter then?
Well, that's a different situation. I would definitely wrap it, but I would go to a local garden center or farm store and get some tree tape. And it's just a white gauze tape without any sticky on it that you start at the base and wrap the trunk up. But you wrapping that will do nothing to help the tree heal. In fact, okay, when we try to wrap or paint, we often cause a lot more damage than we intend, because it's not really beneficial to try to wrap or to paint wounds on trees. It's beneficial to wrap in the winter and then get it off in March or April to keep the sun from scalding the trunk.
Okay. Should I apply anything to it? I don't know if there's been any kind
of... No, there's just no medicating it.
Bugs.
Nope. And if you're not seeing any bugs, if it looks healthy, just leave it alone.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for your call this morning. Next texter says they have rust disease in their lawn, or they think so. The lawn has orange tips on the blades of the grass. How do they get rid of that?
It's pretty easy. It's something you don't really need to worry about. It's usually that the lawn's getting too much water, mm-hmm, and is constantly moist, and so rust shows up. So dry it out. If it's really bad, they can use a fungicide that's oftentimes not necessary.
All right, next one says, their naked ladies are blooming, and they need to be divided. And when is the best time to do
that? I'm hoping they're talking about some sort of lily,
but they're going to have
to clarify that one. I'm just going to leave that alone for now.
I'm going to think that that's probably a lily, though. So when would that be?
Let them go dormant, and when they're dormant, they can separate them in late October, early, mid-November.
Perfect. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. The Greenhouse Show, coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse this morning. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, along with Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse, coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse this morning. Let's go back to our phone lines, and that's where we find Philip in Lehigh. Good morning, Philip. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning.
What is your question?
Well, I had to replace some Norwegian spruce trees just the other day. The ones I had last year, some of them just died, didn't make it through the winter. Some of the ones that did make it, the contractor that I was working with suggested I fertilize the other trees. They're not quite as green as the new ones. And I was wondering what kind of fertilizer to use. Should I use a fertilizer spike? Should I get some pour on stuff and water it in?
Don't fertilize them this time of year. Fertilizer delays dormancy because it stimulates growth. And if those spruce are a little off color, you're not going to be, because the spruce only shoot a new flush of growth in the spring, it's actually going to do you no good right now. If you wanted to fertilize, I'd actually get a liquid fertilizer And just something with a fairly low nitrogen, like a 5 or 6% nitrogen, if you want to make sure the roots have enough nutrients. But any granular, I just would not do it. And usually those spruce, if the needles are a little yellow, you need to check the irrigation to make sure they're not getting too much or too little.
Well, I think I possibly could have been overwatering them. I've been cutting back on the water. It was hot in the summer, of course, and I've seen a lot of drying, and the ground was drying out really quick. But you say a liquid fertilizer, like a
Miracle-Gro or a starter, just, yeah, something that is not going to be too hot. A little bit of nutrient, you know, supplement isn't going to harm anything. And if there is a slight nitrogen deficiency or something, it'll be fine. But you don't want to go in with a 20 or 25% nitrogen granular fertilizer, because you can delay dormancy and you want those spruce to go dormant for the winter. It's going to be critical that they get sufficient water, especially because we're still dry, because the number one thing that kills spruce over, or one of the number one things that kills spruce, is drought stress in the fall into winter. They just can't handle it. And so you don't want to overwater them, but you don't want to let them become bone dry.
Okay, so what about the fertilizer spikes?
I'm not a huge fan of them. I would rather you put down a granular in the spring and spread it out, because the spikes put fertilizer in one spot every couple of feet. And what if there's not a lot of roots there? And so a lot of those nutrients in the spike are just wasted. So I would rather see you in mid-March use a granular fertilizer and just spread it under the root zone, because that's where the roots are, and they're going to absorb a lot more nutrients from that than just a spike off to the side.
If I use a granular, should it be a higher nitrogen?
Just whatever you're using for your lawn, as long as it's not like Weed and Feed. 16, 2500, 2000, 23, 316, whatever. You know, it's that first number is a nitrogen, somewhere around 20 to 25% nitrogen. Even that 16 at 16% nitrogen would be fine.
Okay. And from what I picked up on what you said, I should not fertilize my horn beans either right now.
No, we don't fertilize woody plants, perennials, you know, tree shrubs, perennials. You don't fertilize them in the fall. If you do, you know, if you need to get some flower color out of them or whatever, at this time of year, we're using really low nitrogen, you know, 3%, 5% in a liquid, so that it's just sustaining them and not encouraging a lot of growth.
Okay. What about trimming roses, pruning roses in the winter, in the fall for winter?
No, don't. Just put the pruners away. The roses need to be pruned in mid-March. We like to clean everything up in the fall. I know it's just ingrained. It's almost like genetically we've got to do it. It's just almost like you've got to scratch an itch. But just if you have branches on those roses that are going to break because of snow load, you can prune those back. You want to leave as much of that rose intact as you can, because if we get a hard winter, many of the roses we grow are barely hardy. And you can prune accordingly in the spring if we get a hard winter and have the row survive. But if you whack that down to knee height right now and we get a hard winter, there's a good chance it'll die.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Next listeners in the Cache Valley, and they want to talk about a Zelkova tree. They want to know the pros and cons of a wireless Zelkova.
That is, they named it that because it stays under power lines, but it is like the most unfortunate name for a tree I've ever heard.
I was very confused. I didn't think that was
because this wireless Zelkova actually has this very beautiful, almost Japanese garden look to it. Just a gorgeous tree, good fall color, and they named it wireless.
That is just bad.
But it is a fabulous, just fantastic tree. Now, in the Cache Valley, it would be fine if they're in downtown Logan, in Hyde Park, North Logan, Hiram, Nibley. But if they're down in the valley bottom through College Ward, Benson, lower parts of Minden, it may struggle, because it's hardy down to about a zone 5. So it does well in the warmer areas of Cache Valley, but where you get that minus 30 and, you know, through the airport and through that pocket going toward the Chevron when you first come into the valley, that would not be an appropriate place for it.
Is there some place where they can see one in Cache Valley?
USU has them. I think there's some on Main Street up there. The wireless, I don't know of any mature plantings of them. J.D. Gunnell, your county agent up there, his number is 435-752-6263. He may be able to point some out up there. J.D. is a really knowledgeable tree person. That's his office number, not cell. But he pays me every week not to give out his cell number over the air, but not really. But, yeah, J.D. would be the best person I know of to know where some are.
All right. Let's talk with Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse, because we are broadcasting live at Olson's today, and you just have so many wonderful plants still in Home Depot and Walmart right now for people who are very excited about fall planting. We are in the middle of your mum greenhouse, right?
Right.
We have your garden mums out here.
One of them. Yes.
Huge greenhouse surrounded by flowers. I said earlier, that's just my favorite place to be, surrounded by flowers. So let's talk about garden mums for a minute. How does somebody go out and select a great garden mum?
So the thing about garden mums is they are technically perennial, but we grow them as an annual, and we do a lot of care and keeping, not only to get them to the size that we get them to, but to get them to bloom at the right time of year when you want them most, and also to get them to have the biggest bloom count and the best shape, and hold that shape and not fall apart like they can do when you grow them as a perennial in your yard. So the best way to select one is look for one with healthy foliage, but most importantly is you want the blooms to last as long as you can. And they only last for about 4 weeks from opening their buds until they're bloomed out. And so you want to find one that's just barely opening its buds, just at the point where you can tell what color it's going to be and what bloom shape it's maybe going to be. But the earlier you can find it in its bloom cycle, the better for your enjoyment in the yard.
You were telling us earlier, you really need to think about garden mums as annuals, not perennials.
Right. We sell them as annuals so that even though they're technically perennials, but there's so much work that goes into making them survive the winters and then look good again next fall that it's best is to replace them and use them as decorations.
If you want perennial mums, you buy them in the spring or early summer.
Right.
And you can actually get them year-round, or at least through the whole season. People don't think about it then, but they'll have all season to root out, and they will be perennial, but there's still a host of maintenance on them. Even if they're garden mums, you're probably going to need to pinch them a couple times, and just a few things like that, and it's very possible, but your show from these is just so much better.
Right, and this time of year, when you put them in the ground, you can't count on them surviving over the winter because they're putting all their energy into blooms, not into roots. And so it's kind of a game of roulette. If you buy them this time of year and want them to come back next year, it can be tough, especially if we have a cold winter.
But they're so inexpensive, and they still have a good portion of the season left.
Right. And you're getting taking advantage of the newest varieties as well. There's always breeding work being done for either longer bloom life, bigger blooms, new colors, and things like that. And you can only get that new breeding work if you buy them each year.
Your plant's available at Home Depot and Walmart. And you said right now they're really inexpensive at Walmart if you can still find them.
Yeah, you can find mums at Walmart as cheap as a dollar for the smaller ones.
So it's like, why would you expect it to last? You know,
find all the colors you love and decorate away.
And again, we are coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready, because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.